You know what they say, if you want something done right, you gotta do it yourself, and I've been wanting a Dan Clowes collection of The Ugly Family for as long as I've been a Dan Clowes fan. Here it is. Hello and welcome to your favorite YouTube channel, Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
And I want to remind everybody, we are a daily comics YouTube channel with over 1,500 videos in our catalog. You can search for those on the Cartoonist Kayfabe YouTube homepage. Put in your favorite cartoonist, your favorite book. We may have already covered those. We also have a Cartoonist Kayfabe Patreon that I want you to be aware of. We have three different levels that'll get you access to our videos early. And at the King Kayfaber level, you will get access to all of our videos first because you get to sit in on the recording session. And whenever that rare gem comes up that you got to add to your collection, you'll be the first one buying it before it disappears from the aftermarket or goes way up in price. So check out the Cartoonist Kayfabe Patreon, see which level fits you best. So, Ed, I have been trying to put together an Ugly Family collection for years, and I finally, in the back room of a dungeon-like space that I had to use a flashlight to dig through the back issues, found my missing pieces. And while you were in Japan, I scanned all of my Dan Clowes cracked issues and put together a collection. And if you're at home and you're unfamiliar with Dan Clowes' back catalog at Cracked, he did these Ugly Family strips for almost 3 years, like 86, 87, 88. And you can Google Dan Clowes and Ugly Family and find a checklist of this. It's some university has it all listed. Many of these stories are reprinted in subsequent cracked issues and specials. So if you're a big Dan Clowes fan, you can kind of track down many of these stories in a few different ways. But none as convenient as this one.
Jimmy,
all-in-one collection.
Not only have I been wanting this, everybody's been wanting this, and people would always be chatter online about like when can this happen? Whenever there's like new collections of his work, how about an Ugly Family? How about an Ugly Family? They say the story about like, you know, the art was, you know, in like the Weekly World News headquarters whenever they received the anthrax scare. I think it's kayfabe. I think that Dan Clowes, so it's like Dan Clowes and Mort Todd, right? And one of these is not like the other. One is definitely going to be helping out the other. Like you know, he it's a collaboration with some other dude that he may or may not be connected with anymore. So maybe he just doesn't want to deal with this shit. But he basically said there's not going to be a collection.
I also have no idea what like the rights are for this. Like, does Cracked own these? I don't know how that works either. But the heck with that. Let's get into this idea. We look at a lot of bootleg comics on this channel. People send us books that they make themselves. I do some of my own publishing. And so I did this with a print on demand. I made 9 of these to give out to dear friends. This is my Christmas card this year. If you are on the right list, like you are, Ed.
Thank you, sir.
But I'll talk about some of the details as we go through this. It's mostly printed in chronological order, which will be fun as I point out some of the little Easter eggs as we go on. But Clowes did one cover. So this is the cover that he did. It's from the Cracked Monster Party issue. So not a regular issue of Cracked, but a standout issue. I do not have this issue. This is actually an image that I found online. But if you look closely, it's a pretty good resolution. I actually found a couple of these. And the one difference is this is from a letters column in an issue of Cracked magazine. So I've reproduced all the Dan Clowes artwork that has appeared in Cracked. Most of it is Ugly Family, but not 100% of it is.
So cool.
This one is, but this is not part of a strip. So this was in the letters pages, and I think it was in an issue of Blab, you know, talking about this stuff appearing in multiple places at once. So I figured I would put this on the cover because I had finished the page count. It was a nice even page. What am I going to do now that I have one more piece? And I figured
comics.
It's like a corner box.
It's a comics, yeah. Totally, man. Makes a lot of sense, dude. Fantastic.
Pretty cool, though, to see his color work, and there'll be a couple of examples of that. There was an inside cover and a back cover that he also painted, so a couple of color pieces as we go through, too.
I remember reading early interviews with him where he was talking about, like, he's the guy who brought that little, like, I know there's a name for that little cleft or whatever, but he's like after I started drawing this, like everybody started drawing him. And it's cool to see him do it with color, but it's also a little messy. Like, you just know that his color would not be this way. And I don't know how to describe it as like what you could do better, but like you know it when you see it, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I really don't know what this stuff is colored with.
Right.
Because there's a weird texture in a lot of it. So, you know, it might be Clowes working out a lot of stuff for himself, too.
Yeah, I think so. And when I see this kind of stuff, like, I wonder if it is, like, not even watercolor, but like Doc Martin dyes.
Yes.
But then maybe there's gouache is the base color for other things. I just don't know.
But very convenient that he did a cover, because I feel like it's the perfect cover for The Ugly Family.
Yeah, man. Sylvester P. Smythe is the Alfred E. Newman of Cracked, for those who are wondering.
So as we start rolling through this, you know, this is an example of one of those strips that is not an Ugly Family strip. There are a couple of these. And one of the names, and we'll point it out hopefully if we remember when we get there, Peter Bagg writes one of these kinds of like, you know, aren't you nervous when kind of setups. Funny to see Crack magazine in the 80s. You know, like there's some good issues. And I've told it before on here, but that's some of the first comics that I was really buying was, I think it was a Predator spoof.
Right.
Which coincidentally is where this piece comes from. You know, I checked that checklist, and it's not a strip, but it's one piece of Dan Clough's art in there. And sure enough, it's like my oldest comic in my collection.
The guys that you would find in here at this time, first off, Don Martin.
Yes.
Was a Benedict Arnold of and turned heel and went to a different rival territory. But like you said, Pete Bagg would show up in there. Bob Fingerman would show up in there.
Steve Ditko is in quite a few of them.
So that makes sense, man, with the
Mortog.
The Ace, yeah, those comics. But Bill Ray shows up in these old things, man. So are the Ugly families in chronological?
Yeah, all of this with a couple of like one page exceptions are chronological. And the reason for those one page exceptions is you'll see a lot of them are two page spreads. So got to keep the integrity of those two page spreads intact. And I think you'll see as we go through, it just worked out perfectly. So a couple of one pages that are slightly out of order, but more or less they're going to be the same throughout. And you can see Clough's. This is concurrent with like Lloyd Llewellyn. This is 1986 when Lloyd Llewellyn begins. So that's the time frame that we're looking at least in these early strips.
Totally. This character, and we'll see it when we see the Ninja back cover that's in here at the center spread. But I never, that's like, you know, a rag on this character. He's so grotesque that you can't see him. But when I was like in second grade, this did not read to me. I didn't know exactly what that was. If it was like a crystalline object or something like that. It just, for some, just in that one image, because I never really saw the comic strips.
You know, even like these subsequent pages, he's still doing two-page spreads.
Right. And I remember like on these like front angles, like the things that he would talk about drawing those characters like on graph paper and stuff, and so that to have the eyes completely symmetrical and to have like perfect symmetry like down the middle. And it makes sense too, like when you see the perfect squares of the like the flannel or the pattern in the shirt.
Yeah, and you see it repeating throughout the page even. So yeah,
that's, and the squares are the same size.
Right, exactly. A lot of Clough-isms on display as well.
Even with the lettering.
Great like, lettering.
It's almost a crime that you have to have the typography because, I mean, this is Clough-ian lettering already in 1986 or whatever.
You know what, though? I don't mind the lettering treatment at all.
Like, no, like, but I mean, it's Dan Clough's. Like,
true.
He's a great letterer.
If he were going to hand letter it, I would prefer that. But I was looking at this and I was thinking about it, and I think it fits really well.
Yeah.
The sparse letter and the clean line that he's doing, and it made me wonder, like, is there any influence, like knowing that the lettering is going to look like this, that you develop his style? And we've seen his style predate this, so it's pretty intact. But I do think it complements the lettering fairly well.
You know, it's interesting, too, because he's such a cartoonist, meaning he does all the work himself. Like, this is probably like one of the only times where he had to navigate that idea of leaving negative space with the intention of this, like, you know, kayfabe computer lettering come through.
Speaking of his cartooning, like, look at this. The teeth and the mouth, all the veins and the neck and the forehead. The Clough stuff is here.
It is, man. And down to the influences, you know, his, like, 50s weirdo influences. Like, some of those characters, like, the main Ugly Family dude, is kind of a Big Daddy Roth, you know, Rat Fink type guy.
Yeah, definitely. And this, like, want to see more of the Ugly Family, this is a piece that would exist on its own in other Cracked issues, like early on, where they're almost like trying to solicit support or, I don't know, try to get the audience involved somehow. Write us a letter.
Yeah. So Clough talks about it in interviews where, you know, Mort Todd was just another Pratt fuck up, mm-hmm. you know? And he goes down, I guess there was like a want ad for Cracked in, you know, the local daily news or whatever. Mort Todd goes into that room and Clough's is like, ah, oh, dude, not a chance. like Mort Todd comes back and is like, yeah, I got the gig and I'm the editor in chief now.
That's absurd.
So, you know, it's taking care of the director, as they say in Hollywood.
I think that this piece might be in his that monograph.
I don't think I've ever seen it before.
Oh, okay. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was one of the early cracks that I got, but I definitely seen, like, there's some art that'll be in here that I've seen somewhere else like that.
And it's really sweet because you see a piece like this and it feels like, you know, for a young kid who's starting his career, you send this page to the New Yorker and see what happens.
Right.
You know, like for like future gigs and stuff.
Yeah, you see some of those cartooning marks that you mentioned, but it's very shape driven. And you see the little Klaus-isms are almost like the background details.
Herc Abner. He did not want his proper name known, man.
How about he signed one here?
Oh, he's proud of this one.
Yeah. Am I normal? And again, these are just like gag panels, you know, talking about the New Yorker, where these are like standalone pieces, although that's the Mach 5, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's so bizarre to see some of this stuff and to see him drawing some things that you might not normally see, like a boxing ring.
Right.
Pretty fantastic all around. This video is brought to you by the books that we make. New from Ed Piskor, X-Men Grand Design, collecting all 3 volumes of the X-Men Grand Design series in one convenient volume. 3 volumes of Red Room, now available. Crypto Killers, The Antisocial Network, and Trigger Warnings. And the beautiful Hip Hop Family Tree Omnibus, going quickly. So pick this one up while you can. All 4 volumes of Hip Hop Family Tree in one beautiful hardcover, along with about 150 extra pages, notes, artwork, everything you could possibly want in the Hip Hop Family Tree. The latest offering from me, Street Angel, Princess of Poverty, goes with Street Angel Deadly Scroll Live, both books completely self-contained, but together they collect all of the Street Angel comics that I have made so far from Image Comics, which means you can get them wherever you get books or comics. My self-published offerings, True Crime Funnies, the 1988 zine, and the BW zine are all available on jimrug.com or patreon.com/jimrug, and Hulk Grand Design, my contribution to the Grand Design mythos, out of print at the distribution level. So pick this one up if you come across it before they are all gone. And now back to our video. I was impressed once I actually put these together and was going through them with his level of cartooning and really commitment early on. You know, there's a lot of confidence in this stuff because he's not loading it up with too much stuff, but it does show off that cartoony, a lot of motion, good design. There's a lot of strength in these.
Yeah, I cannot wait to sit down with this.
It's much stronger cartooning than I expected to find. And I don't know why that is. These are kind of neat because these characters, to me, feel very non-Klausian.
Yeah, like I almost wonder, is this the... No, because this is an ugly family. But I was going to almost say, like, is that Pete Bag? Like this feels... I've seen Klaus do that, but like specifically that face, it's like very Wolverton.
Yes, yeah, Wolverton's a perfect example of what that influence seems to be. You know, a note on these two, there were pages I didn't have. So when you see these like yellowed 4-color printing, that is my scan. When you see this, there are a couple of black and white pages like this that I had to pull. I actually like it in a collection like this because it sort of adds texture.
Yeah.
And they're not bad. You know what I mean? Like the quality wise, very clear.
It breaks up the, like you, it can become white noise, man, as you flip. So like when you change things a little bit, it's nice. Oh, it was this duotone.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, you can see some screen tone. This is the Peter Bag and Dan Klaus teaming up here.
Nice.
And not Adam's family, or not Ugly Family, but man, 2 superstar cartoonists working together early, early.
Yeah, and you could start to draw some lines to these guys, and, you know, like Fantagraphics, Weirdo Magazine.
Well, that's the thing. Did Klaus do any weirdo stuff? Like,
that's a good
question. Is this a time when Bag is the... When's he editor? Because this would have been like 86, 87 time period,
yeah,
probably.
I feel like it would be around this time. Because if I remember correctly, Pete Bag is the second editor. Like, it ends with Aileen.
Yeah.
So he probably was editor. And he probably has neat stuff. Neat stuff.
Here's your back cover painting. And this started out for me... I did not have this back cover to use. I used the Ninja 2 cover.
That's
and
all
then
there is.
It turned out this was actually tucked into the issue that I had that was missing the cover. The cover was in there. It had just been torn off, but the person had kept it with my copy of Cracked. So this is the actual Cracked one, and you can tell because of the size. Whereas if you do the Ninja one,
yeah,
it was smaller. Size. Which might have been cool in a collection. Like I said, I pulled it first, and then when I found this cover, I was like, I'll stick with the big, slightly bigger art.
Right. So, yeah, see, there's that guy. And I didn't know exactly what we're looking at there. And I actually, it took me forever to even realize that it's like a dude popping in on the side.
Well, you know what? That makes it more confusing.
Yeah.
He's sideways. If you're trying to interpret what exactly that is. It would help if he was upright.
But this image, I talked about it before, and literally on our like proto kayfabe video where we go to Todd's basement, the New Dimension basement, I forget what the video is called, Fear and Loathing in Comics or some shit like that. But this image, like, I got Ninja 4 or whatever in second grade for a quarter, three comics for a quarter at KB Toy Store. I got it because of this. I was on the hunt for Ugly Family comic book. I asked Klaus about this on the damn channel because I actually never knew that this was in Cracked. I always knew it just as the back cover of Eternity. Right. That's why I asked, like, hey, is this going to be an Eternity comic? And it was like years later where somebody told me, like, oh, they saw my 8-Balls and they were like, yeah, that looks like the dude who did Ugly Family. And I only knew this one image. It was completely out of context. I had no idea that it was in Cracked magazine as a feature at all. And but when he said that, I used my like sort of recall and I knew the proportions of him. Like, you're fucking right. That definitely is the same guy.
Yeah, it's almost like a Twilight Zone. You know, like a bizarro world, Dan Klaus.
Yeah.
When you see this stuff, because it reads as Dan Klaus, but it's just a lot of comic art that I had not seen before.
We got some good stuff out of him during our shoot interview, and I encourage everybody to watch that one, especially if you're a Klaus fan in any way, shape, or form, because the comic industry is so weird at that point. And he was talking about, like, maybe he even would have to be doing comics in heavy metal. Like,
yeah.
there was no place for him to go to make the kinds of comics he was interested in making. So you got to take the gig at Cracked. You can't be too choosy when you're just getting started in the game. I mean, you know, he's some kind of trust fund baby, but that trust fund doesn't go that far.
Yeah, and weird options at that time period, for sure. I can't remember the number he said when Lloyd Llewellyn came out, but it was like 30 comics came out that month total.
Right.
You know, it's such a small opportunity, if you will. You can see the staples in this piece. Wish this would have been a centerfold. You know what I mean? It would have been really cool if it had lined up that way, because it's really only a couple pages off. But it is what it is. One takeaway I have from this Ugly Family game is you're going to see him do some stuff in terms of like formal experimentation. You know, for a comic to be laid out like it's a game, I feel like that's pretty innovative. And I don't know whether that's him or the writer, you know, whether it's Stosh or Eel coming up with that concept, but you'll see more of that as we go along. There'll be a couple of other examples of that. And then Gross is Great, another one of the Klaus strips that is not Ugly Family. I look at this and I go, like, look at the background of each of these panels. It's so a guy, not like, he's going for it.
Oh, totally.
You know, it's amazing. And that's one that I feel like I can still take away. Like, do a page, don't repeat your background. You know, just black, cross-hatching and screen tone, a spotlight, some detail. There are all these different things you could do to make your panel a little bit more interesting. Do it, you know? We see so many talking head comics. Why?
And that's the most Wolverton of his lettering will ever be. Like, he's never put that level of detail, even in, like, the complete 8-Ball title. You know, it's still like more open, but clearly him.
A recipe, more or less, again, you know, playing with that format, stretching it out a little bit. Now, here's probably one of the pieces, if we were really doing this officially, that we might not be able to include. Transylvanian TV, the majority of this is drawn by John Severin, mm-hmm. another good name that Cracked had doing some work for them at the time. And it's basically like, what are they watching on TV in Transylvania? Well, their most popular show is The Ugly Family, this American sitcom. So you get one page of Dan Klaus in there, but...
And it's Dan Klaus drawing fucking Alex P. Keaton.
Bizarre, right? Like a Teen Wolf reference.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. It's Teen Wolf.
It is out there, man.
But you know what? It's so perfect for Klaus, because like that wolf is not Teen Wolf. That's the Michael Landon teenage werewolf. You know, so that's perfectly Klausian.
And you do get these great characters. This is Trashformers, and this is your... I love this. Like, this whole guy, I would read comics of this character, this 1950s flat-top, hard-ass kind of...
You might be able to. It's called Tad Martin.
Six-panel grid, too, you know, kind of like your classic stuff, but really nice panel compositions and like doing some different things, right?
Yeah.
And the shittiest trans. This is the GoBots,
right?
Not the Trashformers. But man, this stuff, that's a panel that could easily fit in an 8-ball issue.
Yeah, for sure.
There are, if you're going through this video, if you're watching at home, look at the different fonts that are in here. I think we've seen at least 3 different font choices so far.
Serif, sans serif.
Yes. There was an all bold early on. Another one of the examples of color, this might be the last color piece that's in here. And I think this is probably gouache. You can kind of see from the flat colors, I believe. But pretty fun to see like 1987 Clouds experimenting with this stuff, because you would see this in 8-ball.
Yeah, totally. And it's certainly more rough and stuff. But like when I see that, it's like, man, markers comes to mind.
Oh, yeah, with
this
possible.
Right here. You know, like you could get a flat marker at times, but like I bet you maybe this is so flat. You know, I wonder if that's the color zip screen, you know, Zipitone.
And if you look closely, you can see this, how beat up some of the copies of my my samples were.
It's that Chip Kid patina, man.
Yes, I think it does add to it. Dragnut.
I got this issue.
Yeah, that's how I was, is like I had a handful of them. Right. And there are several of these stories where like Cracked is featured in a panel or two.
Sure,
which
man.
Is really funny, because it's like I already have Cracked. Right. I'm reading this in Cracked. Got to include that. But any of the stuff that he gets to like put on magazines in the background, you get to see Clouds coming through, you know?
Right, yeah, that lettering.
The sister character in The Ugly Family is so gross.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, she has problems.
Right.
Like beyond just being unattractive. And here's your Dick Tracy, The Ugly Family Dick Tracy Crime Stopper references. But this is his brother, Skip Trace.
Uh-huh.
Tracer, I guess.
Yeah, it's been, and dude, as cartooning, the setup is perfect.
Yeah.
It's literally great cartooning.
It is. You see him putting on almost the equivalent of kick me signs, you know, background details. Got to mess with Tracy's nose.
And what's great is I'm sure Dick Tracy is a Chicago institution. You know, it's produced in town. That's where Klaus is from. That's where he's living and stuff. So this is, you know, us making fun of Myron Cope or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, especially by this time.
Yeah.
By the end of Tracy... Before we got all those great reprints, you're probably not probably critical,
right?
Having the mask on top of Melbourne,
some ink wash, I guess, or maybe he even did just do a regular painting and you know it's transcribed into gray.
Yeah, you see him experimenting. This is another one of these examples of like let's play with format a little bit with the Olympics. So it's almost like a collection of snapshots and then you know caption and again another piece of lettering. I wonder if he's lettering that.
I mean, those S's, like...
They do look like his.
Yeah, I think it is.
Pretty good, like a chance to really show off his skills. Although, with the ink washes, man, you're rolling the dice with Cracked printing on newsprint.
Absolutely.
In the 80s.
Absolutely, and it shows up pretty dark in spots. He would, if he had it to do over again, he would go lighter. But that's the lesson that you learn, you know, you got to figure that out.
By the way, if I had a different copy of Cracked, it might have been lighter.
It's true.
There's probably quite a bit of range on those as well. So here are a couple of the one-pagers that I mentioned in the beginning. For the most part, these are in chronological order in terms of how they're printed. There are early issues that have, like, caption footnotes that reference previous stories.
That's cool.
Which is just weird to think about.
Even this lettering is, like, that classic lettering. Like, we're watching his lettering grow and get sharper and sharper.
Absolutely. And the places where he's able to do lettering, I mean, it's... unmistakable.
Totally. Like by seeing this right here, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he lettered those notebook pages that we just looked at. Because it's the same tool.
It's so dumb too. Like, do you remember the Beauty and the Beast TV show?
Oh yeah.
Being referenced here?
It looks like, I mean, that's Sarah Connor, dude. That's her. And that's fucking Ron Perlman, dude. Future Hellboy.
It's so funny. This is another story that I did not have, mm-hmm. You know, had to find online. Pretty interesting that able to find, like, Cracked magazines online.
It's the world we live in,
yeah,
man.
It really...
It's good stuff.
Really is. And fortunately, the quality of them, not too bad. You know, if you look at the lettering, you can see it's very sharp.
Right.
So, got lucky for my purposes of trying to put together a whole run of this stuff. And Now we get Clow's writing and drawing.
Now this is cool, because like I didn't know that he did any like full bore Clow's comics, and it's an ugly family.
Yes. Looking at this panel, all I could think is Jamie Hewlett, Deadline kind of stuff.
The you were talking about, maybe it was the thing he did with a bag, I don't remember, but like it was the girl with the black background with the hair, like that made me think of Hewlett.
Yeah, it's funny because like in my head, whenever I see that, then it's like, what's the commonality? You know, and it's cartooning. It's these like almost like character design, like right. An ability to do character design and maybe line weight even for certain part of Hewlett and Clow's time periods.
Sure. And they're probably peers in age and pulling from the same kind of pop culture.
Yeah, stuff. I don't know that they're one of them is influencing the other.
No.
As much as like not. I think they're probably pulling from similar stuff.
That's what I mean.
It makes sense that I like them both.
And you know what? It's the UPA stuff. You know, it's like having a facility for drawing, you know, accurately and having that proper eye, but also filtering that UPA geometry of 1950s cartoons and stuff that they probably had a great, you know, sample of in their young lives.
How much does a character design like this make you think like, oh yeah, if you're gonna have somebody do the ugly family, Clow's is the perfect guy,
right?
Because he kind of draws these characters that aren't, you know, they're archetypal, but then they're like maybe a little dark, like twist that knob slightly
right
on it, and you know, a character set like ugly family feels like it would fit that perfectly. This is the story that we end with, and I think it's the perfect ending to a book collection as we go through, you'll see, but it's the Ugly Family album. So as far as I know, this is the last Clow's. And it's another one that is written and drawn by Clow's. So kind of, I don't know if he knew this was going to be the swan song for his work on the Ugly Family or not, but it's a really good capper for a collection like this, I think. And he's not lettering the captions himself here. Or maybe he did and editorial changed it, who knows.
Right.
Another example, though, of like changing, playing with format a little bit, the idea of like a photo album is a way to, hey, it's a family, why not do a photo album piece?
Yeah, and like blood drops and stuff.
All kinds of, like the taping up your ripped pages and things.
Genius.
Kind of perfect. Perfect little details. Again, and it's that thing, it's the equivalent of the fish skeleton in the alley full of garbage where it's like cartoon. You know, it's totally cartoon and thinking like a cartoonist. And part of the reason I love it is the back cover, right? It's the end, it's a nice full page. So I had been wanting to do this collection for quite some time, and whenever you left and I had gotten those last couple issues, it was like, you know what, now's the time to do it. And worked out really well. No extra pages, you know, it seemed like it's meant to be. So, Dan, Fantagraphics, if you guys are interested in having me consult on the collection, the official collection, here's my resume. This is my submission.
There it is, man. This is something I've been wanting in my hands for forever. And I got the coolest Christmas present in 2023 from you, Jimmy. Man, thank you so much, dude.
Yeah, well, Merry Christmas to everybody, because if you're a Dan Clow's fan like cartoonist Kayfabe is, this is some stuff you probably may not have seen before.
Good to go?
Yes.
Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the bell so that we can notify you when new videos are available. In part, the Cartoonist Kayfabe channel is brought to you by the Patreon, and the King Kayfabers on the Patreon get all the videos before anybody else. They've been hanging out with us in the live stream recording chat room as we make these videos too, so you mitigate the kayfabe effect by getting those videos before the vids hit Gen Pop. We are going to be at Big Apple Con in New York, December 16th. Make sure you swing through, come say hi. It's been a while since me and Jimmy been in the Big Apple, so we look forward to seeing you, man. We know a lot of friendly faces out there. See you there December 16th. Ultimately, very important, the videos are brought to you by the books that we make. And before you, a little sample of the bibliography, but let's get into the details. Jimmy, what do you have?
My latest release is Street Angel Princess of Poverty from Image Comics, and Street Angel Deadliest Girl Alive. Together, these two books collect all of my Street Angel comics that I have made so far. This actually collects some of the original Street Angel comics. So this is the 20th anniversary of Street Angel's publication. And unlike Deadliest Girl Alive, most of these are in black and white. So kind of a contrast. We look at a lot of cartoonists' early work. This is a chance to see a character evolve over about 20 years from the oldest to the newest story that is featured in there. I've also been self-publishing quite a bit. The 1986 zine, the BW zine, and True Crime Funnies are available on my website, jimrug.com, or on my Patreon, patreon.com/jimrug. You can read those. And the Hulk Grand Design, collecting my issues of Hulk Grand Design into one oversized volume. These are basically out of print. So if you haven't picked up a Hulk Grand Design yet, get one before they are completely gone, whether it's in your local comic shop if they still have one, or on Amazon if they still have them. But pick that up now, because the way Marvel keeps books in print, or doesn't keep books in print, those may be very difficult to come by.
It's true, man. The Hip Hop Family Tree Omnibus is in stores today. We only have about 25% of these things left in stock, so you got to get it sooner than later, especially if you want to get this as a Christmas present for your loved ones. Thanks, everybody, who have already grabbed the books. Much appreciated. It's the best book I've made to date, and I appreciate your patronage. The order of the day has been Red Room Comics for the past 3 years. Three seasons of Red Room Comics, and come January is Crypto Killers, man. The last season of Red Room Comics to date, collecting four stories, all individual stories. So you can pick any of these volumes of Red Room up, and you're going to get a good sample. You should probably not scroll through anymore, because you never knew what's going to be in that. That's the most hardcore Red Room comic that I've ever drawn. And in November came the X-Men Grand Design Trilogy trade paperback, collecting all of my X-Men Grand Design works. Some of those volumes are out of print and didn't get a reprinting in that Treasury Edition format. So this is the way that you're going to be able to get your hands on all of my Red Room comics. This page got full price for that, man. Writing, lettering, and drawing credits.
You should do. You should take like blank pieces of paper, two shows in your portfolio, just signed, and be selling this page over and over.
Super fun, man. The books are the most important way to support the Cartoonist Kayfabe channel. We are working, functioning cartoonists, and our book sales are what ultimately pay the bills. But there's some other levels of support that you can give to the Cartoonist Kayfabe channel directly. Jimmy, if you let the people know.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can also listen to Cartoonist Kayfabe in podcast form if you are commuting and don't want to get too distracted with the video on screen. Obviously, the video is the best way because you want to see this beautiful artwork. But we know that some people have requested it in their cars. And so now that is available wherever you get your podcast. You can also pick up Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts, merchandise, hats, mugs, stickers, and more at our spread shop. That link is under this video.
There you have it. All the ways to support the Cartoonist Kayfabe channel and your humble Cartoonist Kayfabe hosts. Without further ado, Jimmy, can you please give the people the marching orders so that we can be on our way?
Read more comics.